If ever a situation looked a case for outside intervention, Haiti right now is surely it. Even by the standards of the perennially luckless Caribbean nation, things are grim. Since 2010, Haiti has endured an earthquake which may have killed 300,000 people, a subsequent outbreak of cholera, a couple of deadly hurricanes, one or two further earthquakes, and political violence up to and including, in 2021, the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse.
My country is broken right now.
As a consequence of all of which, and further misfortune besides, the Haitian state has more or less entirely collapsed. Most of Haiti's capital, Port-au-Prince, is now controlled by an assortment of gangs who govern their own fiefdoms ruthlessly and snipe at each other intermittently. This past weekend, the general anarchy was both enhanced and illustrated by the storming of Haiti's two largest prisons by the gangs, turning loose on the beleaguered country more than 3,000 further violent criminals.
We were asleep when we heard the sound of bullets. The cell barriers are broken. I'm the only one left in my cell.
Such government as Haiti still has declared a state of emergency, including a nighttime curfew. But such government as Haiti still has may as well have declared war on New Zealand for all the difference it is likely to make to anything. It is clear enough that if Haiti's problems are fixable, and that is a big if, its cloud-shrouded upper peaks only reachable with yaks and Sherpas, it will not be Haiti alone which solves them. Help is at hand, however, if from a not immediately obvious source. Kenya has offered to send 1,000 police officers to lead some sort of peacekeeping operation. More accurately, Kenya has repeated an earlier offer to send 1,000 police officers to lead some sort of peacekeeping operation. This idea was first pitched by Kenya's president, William Ruto, last October and signed off on by the UN Security Council, only for President Ruto to get slapped down by Kenya's own High Court, which wanted to see a formal agreement between the two countries.
What this mission is bringing is hope for the future.
We are making this response because it is what is right. It is what humanity. It is what humankind can do to fellow humankind.
Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry was in Nairobi earlier this week to sign exactly such a document before dropping unnervingly off the grid for a few days. As of this broadcast, he is believed to be in Puerto Rico after his aircraft was refused permission to land in Haiti. Haiti's foremost warlord, former police officer Jimmy Charitier, known and feared under the nom de guerre Barbecue, has thundered that if Henri attempts to stay in office, or any outside forces support him in that endeavour, the consequences will be civil war and genocide. So there.
The international community, especially the United States, Canada, and France, will be responsible for all the people who die in Haiti.
Kenya can therefore be under little illusion about what it might be getting itself into. Ditto Benin, which has offered to send 2,000 soldiers to Haiti, along with possible contingents from some of Haiti's fellow Caribbean nations. The question thus raised is why Kenya, or indeed anyone else, is volunteering for this. Kenya's foreign minister, when the mission was mooted last year, Alfred Mutua, said Kenya would be enacting God's will. The ensuing derision may be part of the reason for his ensuing demotion to the tourism portfolio. More realistically, President Ruto seems to have not unreasonable ambitions of a more prominent role for Kenya on the global stage, and for Kenya to be at least as prominent an African leader as South Africa or Nigeria. Listeners in possession of a globe may have surmised that there seems at least one country more obviously placed to ride to Haiti's rescue, i.e. the United States, wielder of the mightiest military force in human history, whose C-17 Globemaster transports could be disgorging American soldiers onto the runways of Toussaint Louverture Airport in Port-au-Prince a couple of hours after taking off from Florida. And it's not like America doesn't know the way. They sent the Marines in 1915 in response to an earlier bout of Haitian chaos and threatened to invade in 1994 to reverse a coup d'état. Famously, Haitian junta leader General Raoul Cedras threw in the towel after an American delegation led by former President Jimmy Carter showed him video of the 82nd Airborne Division loading up. One of the more splendidly badass moves in diplomatic history. The US and allies did subsequently deploy to oversee the restoration of Haiti's elected government. UN peacekeepers stayed under various mandates until 2019. However, the US has made clear that it does not wish to involve itself directly in Haiti's present travails, declaring flatly that no American boots will tread Haitian ground this time, though the US will further fund Haiti's embattled police to the tune of $200 million.
We are working with international partners and Congress to provide immediate support to the Haitian National Police and expedite the deployment of the multinational security support mission that will help restore security urgently. We urge all actors to put the people of Haiti first, stop the violence, and make the necessary concessions to allow for inclusive governance, free and fair elections, and the restoration of democracy.
If the mid-1990s to early 2000s represent something of a peak of the creed of Western liberal interventionism, Bosnia, Kosovo, Somalia, Sierra Leone, Afghanistan, Iraq, and indeed Haiti, we would now appear to be probing its depths. What with Donald Trump being Donald Trump, it is often forgotten that in most other US presidential elections, Joe Biden would look like the hard-headed, if not downright cynical, isolationist. For Monocle Radio, I'm Andrew Muller.